League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
This is America, Ken. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the
That's right. If you don't know the facts, you better shut the bleep up. And the facts are, Carlos Correa, it's never goodbye. He's back. Bloom, 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 bloom. Blah, 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 blah. It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. It's going to be a few more days, August 11th. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. Carlos, Carlos. Ooh.
You're welcome. Listen, I sing when I'm in a happy mood. That's what I do. That's what this show does. And when the vibes are good, you will know the vibes are good. I'm feeling great. My life could not be better. I have a wonderful girlfriend, and Carlos Correa is back in town.
Parent those real quick.
Girlfriend one.
Okay.
Carlos Correa back in town, too. Because, again, it's a trade deadline acquisition. He's not having the best year, but he's back, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's fun. Let's have some fun.
Vibes are high.
Yeah. I love that song, too.
But now.
And instead of it's never goodbye, like Paul Walker died. There's not going to be, although the next Fast and Furious, he might be back in some sort of CGI form, and that's kind of poor form. Vin Diesel, what the hell are you doing? But Paul Walker, we're never going to see him again. RIP. Carlos Correa, we are going to see him again. Assuming he is healthy for the next 10 days. The Astros medical staff.
All right.
We got some questions. I'm trying not to kill the vibes. It's
hey,
Friday,
pass
Friday.
The physical, all right? The crack medical team that we got looked at his physical.
He did pass?
They're like, it's upside down. Oh, wait. It looks good.
I'm wondering, is their physical going to be like the time I took the driver's test in the state of Florida, and I could figure this out, Mr. I got a 700 on the math section of my SAT flex. I saw that they added up my score wrong. I should have failed my Florida driver's license test, and they passed me. I remember seeing it, and I just didn't say anything. And this is a very easy driver's test. You don't have to parallel park.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Florida is crazy. Also, you get a boater's license immediately, although I think that's the case here in Texas, too. Once you get your driver's license, you get a boater's license, I think. I think that's how it works.
I have no idea. I've never tried it.
In Florida, you can get your driver's license when you're 15. You don't have to take any courses, which I didn't. I just showed up.
You didn't have to take any courses.
I didn't have to. Didn't do bleep. I think
wow.
I took an online course.
You can just
course.
Walk into the
You
DMV.
Literally can, assuming you took the course online. And again, like. I have no idea how it passed, and that's often how the Astros medical staff deals when it comes to the tests that they're giving. Is there a way that this gets a little awkward for the Astros? I know a lot of people were wondering about the awkward dynamic. Carlos Correa is a shortstop, and now he's coming back to the Astros, and Jeremy Pena's the shortstop. But I don't think that'll be an issue because Correa and Peña have a pretty good relationship, and already it's been established. Correa's moving to third. He's been gone long enough, and Peña, I mean, World Series MVP, right? This was a guy who was so damn good in those playoffs that he's proven as much as Carlos has with the Astros in the postseason from that one run. That's how good he was that one year. Obviously, Correa's had more moments. So that's not an issue. I think what really gets interesting is down the road, when everyone's healthy, because you got control of Isak Paredes. Maybe he misses some of next season, but he's going to be on the team next year. You have control with Carlos Correa, so he's going to be here for a few years. You have control with Jeremy Peña for now. Is it possible that someone gets moved? Is that somebody, Jeremy Peña? I saw that thrown out there by Adam Spillane, and I thought that's at very least an interesting question, given that Peña just hired Scott Boras. If Peña continues when he comes back having the season he was having before the rib injury, and it stands to reason he will, it will be more and more expensive by the amount of success Peña has. Is that what the Astros look at and say, this is the way that we can reload our farm system? Is that the first time where they move on from somebody before the last year of his contract? Because obviously the Astros moved on from Kyle Tucker going into this season with 1 year remaining. I wonder. It's an interesting possibility. But I think that the long-term problems are something that you kick the can down the road before you even start thinking about it. Especially considering, and we talked about this earlier on the show this week, a Harvard scientist did say that there's a chance that an alien spacecraft arrives in November and takes us all out. This guy went to Harvard. Is he a crackpot? Probably, but hey, maybe the Astros. Yeah. I mean, they are the Astros in the space city with ties to NASA. Is it possible that the Astros know something? Stay woke.
Yeah.
Stay woke.
If only there is some sort of reason we have for it's easier to train baseball players to be astronauts than it is to train astronauts to be baseball players, like in the movie Armageddon with oil drillers, where Carlos Correa, Jeremy Peña,
you know what?
And Jose Altuve have to go up and stop that alien ship.
Hitting a fastball or a curveball is definitely more difficult than being an astronaut.
There's less people that do it.
No offense to the astronauts out there. Yeah. There's a lot of people that could be astronauts, but I mean, that last lady, remember that lady that got stuck up there for basically a couple of like months, almost a year?
Gail King?
No, not Katy Perry either. No, not the 10-minute space joy ride.
Not Jeff Bezos' wife.
What a wonderful world. Not the space flight that saw Orlando Bloom break up with Katy Perry over it, which that actually happened, which is so funny. But no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about that lady that got trapped in space because of, I think, a Boeing issue. What a surprise. And she came back, and I mean, like, just looked different. All her hair turned gray, and her face looked a little bit different, too. But the Astros, I mean, between Jeremy Beefcake Peña and Carlos Correa and some of the other guys, like, could they be the astronauts that drilling team was in Armageddon? I don't know. I think that's more plausible than the plot of Armageddon. Low bar with Michael Bay, of course.
I think it's pretty close to as plausible.
Yeah.
Which is not plausible.
Yeah.
Is Daniela the Liv Tyler in this? With the animal crackers?
I got to rewatch Armageddon tonight.
It's a great movie.
I think I'm going to rewatch that tonight while the Astros-Red Sox game is on dual TV action here. Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Chris Numble with a tough question. Knowing Tom Brady is your Lord and Savior, would you trade the Brady Bucks Super Bowl? That's important clarification for Astros World Series championship this year. Oh, that's tough. That actually is tough.
Because the Bucks one means by far the least.
By far.
Yeah.
But it's Tom Brady's last title.
Mm-hmm.
He did win it in a city that I lived in for a few years.
Yeah, you could conceivably claim.
Yeah, I was happy for my friends.
You're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan,
yeah,
as we all know.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Thank you for pointing that out. Look at my fanhood, and you're like, this guy is the worst, by the way.
You're like
Patriots, Celtics, Astros.
You're like, not Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys, but you're
It's close.
You're like the upgraded version.
The upgraded. Like, yeah. Just the really weird.
At least you've lived in all these places.
I actually haven't. I've gone to games for all of these teams, and I legitimately am a fan of these teams, but it is bad. But, No, I will not trade a Tom Brady Super Bowl for an Astros championship. Call me selfish. I won't. I can't. Can't do it. It would be, I mean, think about it from this
perspective.
Think about it from this perspective, though. What's the Astros record in World Series when Paul Gallant's not in town? What's the record?
I forgot.
0-2.
Oh, okay.
What's the Astros record in the World Series when Paul Gallant's in town? 2-0. Actually, 0-3, technically, if you count the White Sox World Series. So, yeah.
Yeah. You're claiming the 05 one?
I wasn't here for that.
Aren't. You know what? Fact check, true.
Yeah.
You weren't here in 2005.
I've been here for all of the Astros championships.
And none of the losses.
None of the
in
losses.
The World Series.
In the World Series, correct, yes.
This is some real...
Don't read the fine print.
This is some real Joe Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls.
I know, right? That's so funny. This is another fun Ask Alone Anything question from Eric the Driver. Paul, is a taco salad the superior way to eat a taco? Same question for a burrito bowl. What? Wait a second.
I think he's asking, is a burrito bowl better than a burrito, and is a taco salad better than a taco?
No, yeah, it's not. Come Definitely. Come on. What are we doing here? A good taco is really, really good. Every now and then I go for the crispy tacos when I'm at El Tiempo. I like crispy tacos occasionally, but if you get like some really good tortilla and you fry it a little bit, not too much, where it's like kind of crispy, but it's not entirely floured up. No, that's better. Generally, these salads that they put them in for a taco salad too, the lettuce sucks, and there's usually not the best mix in there. And it's not even healthy for you. It's just like you're eating water with taco chips in it, you know? Because that's what iceberg lettuce is. It's essentially just water.
Yeah.
Burrito bowl. I mean, if you're really watching your carbs, like, sure, go ahead. Burritos are, I think, unwieldy. So
yeah, sometimes
that's maybe the one devil's advocate argument for a burrito bowl.
As I said, the bowl.
Chipotle, if you're in a rush.
Yes, it is ease of access. And in some situations, it is just easier to do a bowl. But I think the traditional way is my preferred for both tacos and burritos.
That is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Ask Gallant Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Very funny text about, like, Paul, you need to work on your Instagram story game. It's kind of old. It's giving too fast with your movement from one spot to the next. You're not slowly moving around. Okay, interesting. I was an AP photographer. What the hell? I didn't know he was going to get called out on that front. Carlos Correa is an Astro. Jesus Sanchez is an Astro. They got a Jesus. They did. Technically, it's pronounced Jesus. And on top of that, they got Ramon Urias. Is that going to be enough to get the Astros to the finish line and back to where they belong, the World Series? That's on the table all show long on an Ask Alone Anything Friday. Let's have some fun. Let's celebrate. Our guy, Carlos Correa, is back. Stay put.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Carlos Correa is a Houston Astro after a trade yesterday with the Minnesota Twins. The Astros sent a minor leaguer that's been in the minors for a while. He's 26. He's not particularly good. In exchange for Correa, they're going to get some of Carlos Correa's contract paid. Minnesota's going to spend $33 million to cover the remaining contract and help the Astros get, I believe, $30,000 under the luxury tax threshold. In total, the moves that the Astros made at the trade deadline, they get Carlos Correa, Ramon Urias. So we're talking two gold glovers between those two. Jesus Sanchez, who crushes right-handed pitching, in exchange for a player to be named later, Ryan Gusto, prospect Twine Palmer, prospect Chase Jaworski, and prospect Esmiel Valencia. And then if you really want to get crazy and do a Dana Brown and flex, and he gets to flex today, the Astros are also, in the near future, buckle up, guys. You ready for this? You remember the waiver trade deadline at the end of August, the time where the Astros got Justin Verlander? Well, this is what the Astros are going to get in the coming weeks, just like it's Justin Verlander. They're going to get Spencer Arrighetti, Christian Javier, J.P. France, Jeremy Pena, and possibly Jake Myers in exchange for Jacob Melton, Zach Short, Cooper Hummel, Jason Alexander, and Colton Gordon. I will let Dana Brown act like those are trade deadline acquisitions.
It's going to feel like a trade every time somebody comes off the IL.
You're damn right, Dana Brown. Hell to the bleeping yeah. So Correa's back in town. I've always had a soft spot for Correa, specifically because of the way that he defended the Astros. In that interview that he did with Ken Rosenthal for 20 minutes, where he was often pointing at the camera, where he was attacking Cody Bellinger. But I think most importantly of all, and I don't know how much people listen to this, because it seemed like once the Astros sign-stealing scandal was out and everyone was talking about it, everyone got lumped into the cheating. But I believe Carlos Correa when he had this to say about our friend Jose Altuve.
The reason Jose Altuve apologized to the media was for being part of the team and for not stopping it. But he's not apologizing for using the trash can. He's not apologizing for cheating because he did not cheat. And this is easy for you to find out, Ken. You can ask around. You know, you're a great reporter. You can ask Mike Fires. You can ask the players that are not with the team anymore that won in 2017. Jose Altuve earned that MVP, and he's been showing it for years.
Love that. I love how that whole interview, too, he said, Ken, but he was really talking to everybody that was watching.
My favorite is, this is America, Ken. But you can say whatever you want.
But if you don't have the facts, shut the bleep up.
Yeah, Correa was always, even before this, like Correa of the, like, you know, golden era generation that came up, he was always my favorite because of stuff like that. He was always the most open and, like, would talk. Mm-hmm. Thing, because Bregman was more on the field. He was a little cocky, a lot cocky before something happened in 2019. Mm-hmm. But Correa was the one that would like actually put a voice to it. And then, of course, when the lights were brightest, he stepped up for this Ken Rosenthal interview, which has 9 million great parts, great quotes in it.
It really was. If Carlos Correa somehow he gets injured again, God forbid, especially with his training staff, and his career ends, I think he could do wrestling.
I thought you were going to say TV.
Oh, he could definitely do TV.
Yeah, he did TV.
Right, he's done it before.
When he was on the Twins, he could join the postseason crew for MLB TV. Probably won't be able to do that anymore now that he's back on the Astros. But there's a video going around last night of him in 2022 interviewing Jeremy Pena during the World Series run. So yeah, I think TV is definitely in his future. I think wrestling, I would like it to be after 2028 for him to
do that. I agree. Let's wait
after the contract's expired. But he's obviously amazing on the mic. And another reason, that the HEB commercials, the fact he's a great citizen and great leader and a very good baseball player. I'm glad he's back. You know what? Hot take. I'm glad Carlos Correa is back.
Some good questions on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. From the 346, a texter asks, the new Mariners lineup is really strong, but why are there fans comparing the new lineup to the old Ken Griffey Jr., Jay Buhner, A-Rod lineup?
That's crazy if they're doing that.
Well, it's been 30 years, so I think that's part of it. I read a book about that 95. I mean, it was 95. It's really been 30 years.
I guess,
they had this dramatic comeback, and they ended up winning the American League West. I believe they came back to catch. They might have still been the California Angels at the time. I don't think they were Anaheim until a couple of years later. So that is insane. But then think about this. I had no idea Cal Raleigh had 42 homers.
Yeah. He had I think it was like 38 before the break, 36 before the break.
We're two-thirds of the way through the year, and I believe the record is still 70.
I thought it was 73.
Is it 73?
I thought that was the Bonds.
Okay.
Bonds record. Well, I could be off.
I mean, people don't really acknowledge the Bonds one.
Yeah, 62 is the AL record.
Right.
Or 63, whatever Judge hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, do you think...
He's on pace to have more than Judge, which would be hilarious.
Who is the...
I want that so bad.
Whose record did he break? Roger Maris.
Right.
Is Roger Maris Jr. going to be going to Cal Raleigh games like he did Aaron Judge games to watch him break his dad's record? Probably not.
That's a good question.
Probably not. I hope he breaks Judge's record. That's all I want.
Yeah,
I don't want him to break Bonds. I want him to break Judge's record.
And I will see, like, you know how that record, 63 home runs, is like, what, seventh most all time?
Yeah, eighth AL, most all AL time? Record, though.
It's an AL record. But like, we've always said, like, oh, it's like eighth most all time. If Raleigh gets it, even though he's a Mariner, I will 100% say American League record holder instead.
Two things.
Because I like the Mariners. I like Mariners fans, whatever.
If Raleigh gets it, and if the Mariners don't win the AL West.
Yes.
If they win the AL West and he breaks it, I'll be too bitter to hand it to him. I'll be too upset.
Yeah.
But if the Astros still win the division and he breaks the record, that to me is the best outcome possible. Because Cal Raleigh does seem like a pretty cool guy.
I like him, yeah.
I was talking about this after the Mariners series while you were off, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of a dust up, not a ton, ooh, but some barking from the dugouts.
I like that. That's good.
I had a moment of weakness where I admitted I miss Scott Service.
Yeah,
I miss Scott Service. As much as I hated him, I kind of loved him.
Scott Service was fun.
It was a fun foil.
Always was nice to me when I was in Seattle, for what it's worth, too. But yes, he was easy to get mad at when you're watching him play against your Astros.
It was like every year he would
always
do something.
At least
and he's
one
such
thing.
A hothead.
Yeah, he was. It add a little extra to the series. I think it's because they also have Julio Rodriguez, and Rodriguez has not been living up to the expectations, but he's still got that potential and is so big. And Suarez has 36 homers, too.
Yeah, I mean, Suarez.
There's 80 home runs between Raleigh and Suarez, and we're two-thirds of the way through the year. Like, for one season for both of those guys in the same lineup is insane. They're both going to have 50 homers.
Them getting Suarez and Naylor really is something that... Yep. You know, it does change how you look at them. Obviously, they'll have to stay healthy on the pitching side. I saw they had a pitcher last night look like he tore his Achilles trying to field a ball. Yeah, it was Thornton, I think one of the relievers. But yeah, the Mariners are definitely a like worthy adversary, I'd say. It is nice that the Astros already have, what, five games in their pocket? They're five games up right now, so... You know, all the AL West teams made a move, or all of them made actually multiple moves to get better. It's nice that the Astros kept pace with those. Like you're saying yesterday, and I agree to a certain extent, that if the Astros don't make a move, it's not the end of the world.
No, not. But this.
But then after the Mariners, I mean, the Mariners had already gotten Suarez. They got Naylor. And then the Rangers got some pitching help. If the Astros didn't do anything after all that happened, I'd be more concerned.
Unease. Yeah, yeah. I'm with you there. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You want to ask any question about what the Astros did at yesterday's trade deadline, 713-780-3776 to call to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app. We're having some difficulties on 97.5, so... If that's the way you normally listen, check out the app, check out the Twitch, check out the YouTube.
92.5 still works.
92.5 does still work. Stick around. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN Houston.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
34 days away. Earl Campbell. Nolan Ryan. Hakeem Olajuwon, the most important number in Houston sports. We don't need to go any further. I do not care if there are any Texans who wore number 34. And in case you are just tuning in and we're under a rock for the last 22 and a half hours, the Houston Astros have brought back Carlos Correa in a trade with the Minnesota Twins. They gave up very little to get him. And in fact, the Twins even helped pay some of his contract. They also got Jesus Sanchez and Ramon Urias. Sanchez is an outfielder from the Marlins who hits righties very well. And Urias is a pretty damn good fielder who plays third base. Some flexibility for the Astros lineup. I know there's some questions about the pitching. Right now, you are rolling the dice and hoping that a bunch of Astros pitchers will be healthy in the near future. We'll get to some of your Ask Golan Anything questions a little bit later. Football was back last night. The Detroit Lions and Los Angeles Chargers. We saw Trey Lance, third team. The charm threw two touchdown passes for the Chargers. Lions looked like crap. Dan Campbell was pissed off about it afterwards. Texans and Lions have joint practices around the corner before a preseason game between those two teams. As far as the game itself, there was weirdly controversy over the national anthem. Some people thought it was bad. I listened to it. It's a guy who's in the National Guard. I thought it was solid. The best part of the national anthem, as I've said many times before, is when they say, "We're so gallantly streaming." Very often I will find somebody that's never heard me do this before at games that I go to and just whisper, "That's my last name," in the pause between gallantly streaming and the Rockets' red glare. Damn, I'm a good singer. Some drama in Big D. I did not think it would come to this. I did not think that Micah Parsons would get frustrated to the point of requesting a trade. Parsons is at Cowboys camp in Oxnard, California, has practiced, but is dealing with a lower back injury. And yet, contract conversations have been going rather slow, which is funny because Stephen Jones said, "No, we never drag our feet when it comes to contracts. Micah has to want to get paid." Jerry Jones has made some comments as well. Parsons has been very cryptic in the last 24 hours. At about 10:51 last night, there was a picture of Micah Parsons next to Trevon Diggs, a Cowboys fan, with the caption saying, "I'm about to burn this app down." I think he's a Cowboys fan that's based in Kansas City. Parsons reposted it saying, "One last time," showing Will Smith and Martin Lawrence's character from Bad Boys giving each other a fist bump. Then a little bit later, we got a post from Diana Russini of The Athletic about Micah Parsons, and it said as follows. Breaking: the Micah Parsons Cowboys relationship has deteriorated to the point where the star pass rusher is considering drastic measures, which could include a trade request or even a declaration that he is severing his relationship with the team, per multiple league sources. The two sides remain far apart heading into the second week of training camp and are not currently negotiating. That was at 9:44 this morning. And then minutes ago, we got this from Micah Parsons himself. Bear with us, because it's a notes app that he posted to X.
Multiple slides on the notes, on the pictures with the app, or on the Twitter.
Yeah,
it's like multiple slides of pictures.
1:16 p.m. "Thank you, Dallas." Lion emoji, king emoji, prayer emoji, exclamation point emoji. Notes app. "Yes, I wanted to be here. I did everything I could to show that I wanted to be a Cowboy and wear the star on my helmet. I wanted to play in front of the best fans in sports and make this America's team once again. The team my pops and I grew up cheering for, way up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, I no longer want to be here. I no longer want to be held to closed-door negotiations without my agent present. I no longer want shots taken at me for getting injured while laying it on the line for the organization, our fans, and my teammates." I think that is a fair point. I think that Jerry Jones has been an a-hole this entire time. Stephen Jones, no better. If they had not maybe said some of the things that they'd said publicly,
I wonder if this notes app would be posted. By the way, we got a long way to go. I no longer want narratives created and spread to the media about me. I had purposely stayed quiet in hopes of getting something done. But since there is confusion out there, let me clear some things up. I had my agent reach out to the Cowboys last offseason after my 3rd year in hopes of getting a deal done early. Unfortunately, the team did not want to start any negotiations at that point. I was okay with that. Didn't complain. Focused on 2024. After the season, I told my agent once again to let the team know we were open to negotiate when they met at the combine. My agent informed me I should wait for other deals to get done because the price would only go up. But I didn't care and wanted to secure myself as a Cowboy long term. This was before any of the other pass rushers deals got done.
Hang on a second.
Yeah,
he did a very poor job of cutting and doing this. I knew I would be leaving money on the table, but again, I was okay with that. Again, radio silence as far as my extension. In March, I met with Mr. Jones to talk about leadership. Somehow the conversation turned into him talking contract with me. Yes, I engaged in a back and forth in regards to what I wanted from my contract, but at no point did I believe this was supposed to be a formal negotiation. And I informed Mr. Jones afterwards my agent would reach out thinking this would get things done. But when my agent reached out and spoke to Adam, he was told the deal was pretty much already done. My agent, of course, told him that wasn't the case and also reached out to Stephen Jones. Again, the team decided to go silent. At that point, we decided we would allow the team to reach out to us whenever they decided they wanted to talk. Yet still not a call, email, or text to my agent about starting a negotiation. Up to today, the team has not... Man, Michael, you gotta cut this thing up.
The screenshots are so mismatched of like where it cuts off.
Up to today, the team has not had a single conversation with my agent about a contract. Not one demand has been made by my agent about money, years, or anything else. Still, I stayed quiet, but again, after repeated shots at myself and all the narratives, I have made a tough decision. I no longer want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. My trade request has been submitted to Stephen Jones personally. I don't think the Cowboys are going to trade him. I think they're going to play hardball with him, but he's put it out there. And he's not the only player in the NFC East to do that. I wonder if this perhaps inspired him. But get this, Terry McLaurin, Commanders wide receiver, has also requested a trade. Busy day in the NFC East.
Yeah.
Commanders are real bozos for this one. Listen, you got Jaden Daniels, and you got a receiver who might not be top 5, but I think he's top 10 to 15, and he has been the perfect soldier for your god-awful organization. You want to kill all the vibes from a possible new stadium, which I think there was a vote on today, by moving on from him? McLaurin should get paid. Parsons, based off of what he's done, should get paid. I'm very curious to see what happens with both of these guys going forward. But there you go. Yeah. That is the 10-minute drill. We are 34 days away from the start of the NFL season.
I don't know who's more of a bozo in this, the Commanders or the Cowboys. Like, the Cowboys thing is so crazy.
Yeah.
That Jerry Jones basically just tried to cut out David Mulugeta and just tried to, like, have a conversation with Micah Parsons, and then from the sounds of it, basically went, "Oh, deal's a deal.
Yeah.
Deal's a deal, Michael." Like, or Micah. Oh, actually, he might have called him Michael.
He did call him Michael once.
This is crazy. This is, they're both deals that seem pretty I don't know. They didn't, like, Micah Parsons should just be the highest paid defensive end. Like,
yeah.
Boom. There you go.
Micah Parsons can do pretty much anything defensively on a football field.
Yes.
Like, I trust him as a pass rusher. I might trust him in coverage against top tight ends in the league. He's an incredible athlete. And might be a little annoying with the podcasting side of things from time to time. But, I mean, he's not a bad guy or anything like that. He's a hell of a player. I don't get this.
It's so funny that they did this with CeeDee Lamb, too, where it's like, there's no question that you should sign this guy. Why are you dragging your feet on this? Or why are you, like, trying to play hardball here?
Dak Prescott was the guy that was honestly more of a question mark, I think, than these guys are. Because Prescott's solid to good.
Yeah, as far as
these guys are great.
I was going to say, as far as how quarterbacks get paid, like, Dak Prescott's obviously on the right side of this guy gets another contract for your team. Like, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence and Tua making over $50 million a year now. Like, if those guys get paid, Dak Prescott definitely gets paid. You're right. Like, CeeDee Lamb is the top 5 receiver in the league. Top 3, maybe. receiver in the league.
Top 10, definitely. Top 5 is tricky because it gets a little murky, but you're right. Yes, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like Chase, Jefferson, and then it's like, it might be CeeDee Lamb right there. We already talked about one of the best defensive players in football is Micah Parsons. Just pay these guys.
Pay him.
Terry McLaurin, I understand, like, playing some hardball with, but at the end of the day, like, who are the Redskins paying, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, Commanders. Yeah, although they are getting a new stadium, so.
Maybe they get a new name?
Maybe they are.
Donald Trump said that they.
Yeah, we'll see how those negotiations
happen
go.
If they get a new name. Yeah, I know. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. From the 832, a texter asks, Paul, you're partaking in the White Linen in the Heights thing? Yes, I will be out there. Haven't exactly figured out the how, but the girlfriend and I will be out and about. Another text on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Ooh, this is a fun one. What's the earliest you started drinking before and for what? There have been multiple times where I've had early flights out and I knew that the airport would not have any drinks ready to go. And I like to have a drink before I go on vacation. So there's been a couple of times where I've had a 3:30 a.m. margarita.
Is that early or is that late?
It's early because I woke up early to have the El Tiempo margarita.
That makes sense.
And I slept the night before.
Okay.
So that's probably the earliest, but like I am not afraid of having a drink before noon. I think anyone who is on the weekends.
I was going to say, like tailgating, like that you're there's 9 o'clock right there.
I did a radio show after the Astros won the World Series at Cobos, and I was gone by probably 11:05.
Yeah,
like gone.
I thought you were going to say
fed shots.
The 2017 Astros World Series.
That was weird because that one.
I guess that was late. That was
late.
You didn't sleep. Yeah.
I mean, I was up till 4 in the morning, 10 to 4, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. doing a solo radio show by myself in the middle of the night. Going up
Popping
against
champagne.
The actual Astros broadcast for, I would say, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It is the Paul Gallant Show, Ask Gallant Anything Friday. More of your questions are coming in. But Micah Parsons has requested a trade from the Cowboys. Terry McLaurin has requested a trade from the Washington Commanders. I was not out at Texans training camp today. We're going to be talking about Carlos Correa all show long. The Astros brought him back. They also got Jesus Sanchez. You got any questions about the trade? Have at it. I love it. I'm happy. Are there any possibilities that this ends up backfiring for the Astros? Is there anyone out there that actually has a zag and doesn't like what they did? I'd like to hear from you. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Oh, in your app store.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Updated World Series odds after the Astros acquired Carlos Correa, Jesus Sanchez, and Ramon Urias, three bats. They have the sixth best odds to win the World Series. Dodgers, always in first, plus 285. After that, pretty big fall off. Phillies at plus 800. They added at the deadline. Tigers at plus 800. They added at the deadline. Yankees at plus 850. They also added at the deadline. How are they ahead of the Astros? I'm sorry.
I think that's just Yankees. You know, we're talking about the Cowboys before. I think it's a little bit of that, of just public
Maybe.
Team.
I would think, though, if you put longer odds than the Yankees, more people would bet on the Yankees.
But you'd have to pay out more if they do win.
But they're not going to. They're not going to. What? Does anyone think that's going to happen? The last time they made it, this past year, they got so destroyed by the Dodgers.
It is funny. It was like the most successful year, but also still demoralizing.
Right. And it was like, oh, they didn't even play the Astros. They were probably like, wait a second, do we belong here? And the answer was no. The Mets, plus 850, and then the Astros at plus 1,000. They're ahead of the Cubs at plus 1,100. Cubs did nothing.
Yeah. Where are the Padres?
Padres not on it.
Damn.
Plus 1,200 for the Blue Jays, plus 1,400 for the Mariners, plus 1,400 for the Brewers. Unless the Padres are also plus 1,400. That is surprising.
They might just be tied and just not on the little screenshot.
Plus 1,000, that's pretty good. I think that a very fair question was asked earlier, and this is about the pitching for the Astros. Robert asked on YouTube, I like Correa, but where are the arms coming from? Somebody else had asked the same question. Wait a second, is this really like a World Series rotation? The hope is that the guys who return by the end of the year are going to be back to form.
You got it's going to feel like a trade every time somebody comes off the IL.
Thank you, Dana Brown. Christian Javier, who's had a couple of rehab starts. Spencer Arrighetti had one last night. Spencer Arrighetti, I think, is expected possibly back as soon as next week. Those two guys are guys you're looking at and you are thinking, hey, you can get something back. I'm very curious about Luis Garcia. Honestly, I'm probably more skeptical that he'll be back just given that he had that setback. But the last time we saw Garcia, this is a shame. Like he changed his pitch motion up with the new pitch clock, and he looked really good those first couple of starts. I think he's like second and his third in particular. And then, of course, he has the Tommy John again. So they have arms that we have seen pitch at a high level in the past, specifically with Javier, but also to a degree with Luis Garcia. Arrighetti, there's a lot of potential, but he is coming back from a thumb injury, and I imagine it's going to be a little bit awkward for him at first. It is an Ask Lon Anything Friday. Robbie's got a question at 713-780-3776. Happy Friday, Robbie. What's up?
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Robbie.
You remember me from Cactus Jack?
I do. My dog. What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You're celebrating Carlos Correa early, too. I like it.
Say, let me tell you something.
Hit me.
All right. This morning was Free Beer Friday. I got up at 5:30 at 10 minutes till 6. I popped the top on.
Let's go.
On the beer.
Let's go.
I'm just saying, it's never too early to start drinking. And it's never too late to quit.
Well, that is certainly a mentality that I have had at certain moments of my life, generally on the weekend.
Carlos Correa is a good addition to the team.
I agree.
His leadership, he is great at his position, and he's going to bring positives to the team. So how do you think?
I feel pretty good about it, and appreciate the phone call, Robbie. I need to get on Robbie's level. Robbie, it's a Free Beer Friday, and Robbie's been up since 5:30 drinking, it seems like. From a vibes perspective, look at it from this way. They had been playing pretty poorly for the last couple of weeks after the incredible highs of sweeping the Dodgers and sweeping the Phillies and 2-3 against the Cubs. All of a sudden, you're not scoring, everyone's hurt, and you have a front office that showed its belief in you by, one, keeping all the young guys who seem to have some upside, specifically Spencer Arrighetti and Bryce Matthews, who were names that the Padres wanted in a Dylan Cease trade. But you just also added. And you added Carlos Correa, and as a texter brought up, Correa is going to bring some energy. This texter believes the team's been mopey since Correa and Springer left. I'm not going to go that far.
they have won a World Series since then.
Right, they've been a juggernaut. But bringing Correa back, I'm sure, is going to be exciting for a lot of Astros, specifically Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena, who has a close relationship with him. And honestly, I would say all Astros pitchers, Correa is another one of those baseball nerds that I think, like Bregman before him, is going to get a little of that veteran savvy for every single one of these younger guys who are getting it, I'm sure, from Altuve, but the more the merrier, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Bregman was credited with basically fixing Hunter Brown last season.
That's right.
He was like, here's how I would attack you. Here's how you should attack me, kind of thing. And he's been a completely different guy since then. And yeah, I mean, the sound of Dana Brown talking about when guys get hurt or when guys, the hurt guys get healthy, it's going to be like another trade. Earlier in that interview, Todd Callis asked him if he feels like this team needs a spark, and he thought it did. And I think Carlos Correa is that spark. I think so too. I think if they didn't make the Correa trade and it was just Urias and Jesus Sanchez, I feel like while those guys help, it wouldn't provide the same spark that a guy who has some has pelts on the wall here, not just pelts on the wall somewhere else, but he is a guy who is a leader in every locker room or every clubhouse he walks into.
He's respected across baseball to a degree. Obviously, there's this, the 2017 stuff is in the background, but I mean, I think people respect his game for sure, and especially in this one specifically. I bet Correa is pumped too, given he seems he looked rough in that interview he did before the trade deadline when he was asked, like, hey, what do you think? He said, oh, it's not that serious. I mean, I don't know if it was a combination of, like, his haircut, but he looked haggard and kind of, like, bummed out. And it seems like everyone in the Twins clubhouse is kind of feeling that right now. Yeah, that they just got rid of, like, half the roster in a day.
I imagine a clubhouse like that where they come into the season with, I don't know, postseason, they could have won the division.
For sure.
They definitely thought they could win the division coming into the season. And, you know, it's the day before 12 guys are going to get traded. I bet it was just, like, terrible vibes in that clubhouse. And, I wonder if we get a little bit of rejuvenation with Carlos Correa. He was a guy who this year started off pretty slow. And month by month has kind of gotten it back on track of where his numbers are at now. So I don't know if we can expect him to, like, jump in production. But he's been a guy in the month of July, he's hitting 300, 759 OPS. Like, he's been solid as of late. He was really good in May. I think this is something that could give the Astros a spark, and it could give Correa a spark as well.
Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. The Astros won the trade deadline yesterday. They won it. Is Jim Crane the best owner in American sports? It's a serious question right now.
Paul, you're being such a brown noser right now.
Yeah. We all should be brown nosing today. Maybe not tomorrow. Or after this series against the Red Sox. But right now, I'm licking some boot. Stick around, Paul Gallant Show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.